Feng shui essentially is about the energy of your space and how to maximize it with the way that you organize it or the way that you place your furniture, the direction that you sleep in. So it's really to train your awareness to your environment, which I think that sometimes it can come naturally to some people. Sometimes it can be blocked, I believe, that you are not very aware of how your environment can affect you. So feng shui is, you know, really the awareness that you have for your surroundings.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Nuchi podcast. I'm your host, Stephanie Tan. In this episode, I sit down with Thierry Chow, a feng shui master who blends design with ancient wisdom to help us rethink the energy of our spaces. Thierry shares her journey of growing up with a father who was a feng shui master. After studying fine art, she later embraced the practice herself. Today, she believes our homes should act as personal chargers, places to ground, recharge, and restore. We dive into what feng shui really means beyond furniture placement, its roots in the Yi Qing, and how Thierry makes it modern and approachable. She also shares practical tips you can start using today, from bringing in plants and crystals to choosing colors that align with your energy, and even how decluttering can clear both your space and your mind. Thierry, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm super excited to have you on.
Same. I'm so excited to be here.
Amazing. So let's dive right into it, right? So you grew up with feng shui around and your father is a renowned feng shui master. What was that like for you growing up with feng shui all around you?
It's interesting because when I was a kid, it was just, you know, for me, it was just something that my dad did. And I remember telling myself, like, I would never... you know, if I was, you know, an adult, I would never go into this line of work. Yeah, I remember so vividly. You know, he would do feng shui all around the house, and then he would, you know, move things around. And when I was a kid, I was just like, oh, I don't know how, you know, all this stuff works. You know, how do you put, you know, water here and then it would make you more auspicious, like your energy more positive. So for a while, I just kind of took it not very seriously. It was, you know, something my dad did. So it was interesting to witness that and then having him talk about it, you know, every day. And for me, I think it was just, you know, in the beginning, I was like, I didn't really understood it. Yeah. So it took me a while. I think it took me... when I think I was 21.
That's when. So it was like a while.
Yeah, a while. Because I went into training for fine art for many years because that was my thing. You know, I was not very good in school. You know, I was always like last in the class in Hong Kong where they, you know, they grade you, right? And then they read out loud, like, who's the first grade, like who's got the best grade, and I was always the last. So for me, I was like, yeah, that was really traumatizing for me. Yeah. So for me, I knew, you know, art was my thing. Like, I naturally was like, that gave me confidence. So I did that for a while, and then circle back. I graduated from university, came back to Hong Kong, you know, sort of hit a really low point in my life. And then that's when I was like, maybe I should try, you know, learning feng shui from my dad.
Yeah. And I read that you apprenticed under him for 5 or 6 years. So what was that like? And for those who don't actually understand or have heard of feng shui, actually, let's go back to what is it? How does it work?
Yes. Well, feng shui, it came from, you know, the foundation and the philosophy comes from the Book of I Ching. So the Book of I Ching is very interesting. It's called the Book of Change. So it talks about everything about changes. And so, you know, when you hear yin yang, five elements, all the philosophy actually come from this book. So a lot of the culture that we are experiencing in Asia are actually from that book. So Tai Chi, Chinese medicine. So yeah, I think we're largely influenced by that book. And feng shui obviously is from that as well. So it's all about balance. And so feng shui essentially is about the energy of your space and how to maximize it with the way that you organize it or the way that you place your furniture, the direction that you sleep in. So it's really to train your awareness to your environment, which I think that sometimes it can come naturally to some people. Sometimes it can be blocked, I believe that you are not very aware of how your environment can affect you. Mm-hmm. So feng shui is, you know, really the awareness that you have for your surroundings.
And so when you apprenticed with your dad,
yeah,
what was, you know, what was that like? What were your biggest takeaways and how did he, yeah, how did he pass on that to you?
I apprenticed under him for, you know, I would still say I am still apprenticing under him. So it's been about 15 years now or even more. Like I, yeah, 18 years. So the first couple years, it was just me, you know, following him around to see clients. And sometimes he would take me up the mountains and he would talk about how the mountains form and how the rocks form would affect, you know, with the weather and all that stuff, it would affect the way the people live in the environment. So, for example, certain areas would be more protected. That's why people build houses there. So I think way back, an ancient wisdom, it's like birds, right? They find safe places to build their nests. So I think feng shui is like that. And so for me, the biggest takeaway, I would say, is I used to be in a little, I think I put myself in a box and I limit myself in seeing the world. And I think feng shui is a really great way for me to tell myself, hey, you know, remind myself that the world is not, it's unlimited and you can learn so much if you open your mind to it. So feng shui for me, I think really is to open my mind up and to really understand that there is way more in the world and way more in the universe, because it also talks about the stars and, you know, the sun and the moon and all that stuff. So for me, that was a really good thing for me to grow as a person, yeah, and spiritually as well.
Right. And so how did you, I'm curious that, you know, you had such a fine arts background as well. So yeah. How did you integrate your fine arts background with feng shui?
So the moment I knew I was going to combine fine art or design with feng shui was when I hit a really low point in my life. After I came back to Hong Kong after graduating from university, I remember being like, I really wanted to be an artist, but it just wasn't working. And then I was working, you know, a job that was like 9 to 7, Monday to Saturday, and I got so depressed. And one day I was eating dinner with my dad and I remember being like, I need something to take me out of this misery. And I remember being like, feng shui is it. And that just went off like the light bulb. And I remember being like, you know, like feng shui has been around for so long and I have never seen anyone, you know, combine it with art. Like maybe they did, but it was not done in a way that it was, you know, people can approach easily. So I thought maybe I can, you know, do that. And because I'm so well trained in that side, right? And I've never seen, there's a lot of men in this industry. And I said, oh, maybe it would be nice to have a feminine presence in there as well. And so I think that was what, you know, made it interesting for me.
Yeah. So how does it work when you fuse design with feng shui together?
So I realized that because it's all about the environment and it is also about the person as well. So we would always have to tell people, this is your element and you lack certain elements. And so you need to wear more certain colors. So I thought, oh, that would be great because then I can tell people how to use those colors, dress in those colors, then but also tell them how to dress nicely in those colors. And then so same with the environment, you know, you can decorate your place really nicely and you can think about how to design it. And it also doesn't have to be just one way, which I really respect the feng shui philosophy and the tradition as well and the whole culture. And I just really thought that it would be really fun if we could, you know, you can design your place not just with one option. Like traditionally, you know, you place certain things in your room, like a water fountain, could be a copper statue. But I thought there could be more fun way of doing that.
Interesting. So what was that? What are some, you know, examples? Like, say you visit your clients' homes, like, how do you go in and decide, right? How does that whole process work?
So what we do is we use the Chinese compass, which is, I have here, it's like this, right? And this is a mini version. Usually it's like way larger. So this is the tool that we use to measure directions. So the reason why you see a lot of characters on there is because it's very precise directions. So it's like every single, it's like all the degrees you can that exists would be on there. Yeah. So that tool we use to go measure the direction of the building. We look at the surrounding, exterior surrounding of the building where the person lives in or work in. And then we take that into consideration, the direction, and then we go in and then go up to your unit. And then we also measure again. And then we take down the direction. And then that gives us a formula, which I also have here that I can show you. It's like all numbers like this, right? And then that would tell me the good auspicious area and then the bad areas. Okay. And then in that way, then we can tell how to decorate your space with certain colors, texture, shapes, and then what five elements to put in. So for example, like plants, fish tank, and then crystals. Wow. So we have all the five elements.
Interesting.
That we can place in there.
So, and it's different for everybody, right? Like, so when you go into my home, for example, like, does my energy, you know, when you meet me, does that come into factor, I guess?
Yes. So we also have to look at the person's birthday. So we take in consideration of that. And also, obviously, meeting you in person. Then I could tell certain energies about you. And then we take all that into consideration. So then it can, you know, if let's say two different person is looking at the same unit, I could say the unit is good feng shui, but it doesn't, might fit one person better.
I mean, I have to say my husband and I, we believe in energy.
Yes.
But we never had our place checked for feng shui because we're so scared that, you know, somebody's going to come in and be like, your bed is facing the wrong direction. You got to move it. You got to move this wall. You got to, you know, for somebody like me, right, that understands, I think, you know, we want to invite good energy and, you know, things like that. But what are some of the things that we can do ourselves to have that sort of, you know, maximal good chi and good energy around your house?
There are a few things that, you know, everybody can apply to their space very easily. And I think number one, I always tell people is make sure your place has life energy. So I'm sure, you know, you were talking about like, you know, you've never actually done, you know, somebody come in to do feng shui for you. But I'm sure you've gone into a place where you're like, I just don't like the energy in here and I don't really want to stay here.
Yes.
And I think that's the first telltale sign that a place energy is off. Yeah. So if you say, I love the energy here and I love staying here and I can have, you know, chat with my friends for hours and hours and I don't want to leave. That's because actually it's probably the life energy that they have there. And how you can have life energy is make sure that you know, like animals can give that. Plants, flowers. So things from nature can give you life energy. Because if you think about it, when you go to nature, you feel very healing. And I think that's the power of nature. And essentially, that's what feng shui is about. Because we talk about five elements. So if you can bring in five elements into your space, let's say like plants, right? Plants is very easy to put into your place. Plants is in the wood category. So plants are really good for, you know, releasing the life energy. It also has the color of wood. Also, in the feng shui philosophy, it's very good for work and also studies. So what we call
I have some. I have some. I have like a bamboo plant behind me in my study.
Yes. That's perfect. Because it really is the wood, it's the wood symbol in feng shui. And it can help you feel more productive. Yeah, I think just looking at it also is like, just wonderful.
Yeah. Okay, that's good to know. And what are some things that you're like, you should definitely not have that around at home? Like, what should you get rid of?
So we also believe in the power of symbols. So if something gives you goosebumps when you look at it, if it is sharp and it has the meaning of something very negative, then we would say get rid of it. It also, I find it interesting because this is a philosophy from Asia, but it can be different for people from other countries. So that's why I say it this way. You know, for us, it's like we can't have white flowers because in our culture, white flowers is the symbol of funerals or death, right? Yeah. So I would recommend a lot of people who live in Asia to avoid having white flowers.
Yeah. But I love white flowers.
Yeah.
So if we, for somebody who loves white flowers, like, are there things that you can like balance out that sort of energy?
Yes. So what we can do is, for example, white flowers, white candles are both the same. They are both symbols of, you know, funerals, right, in Asia. So what we can do is we tell people that as long as you put something, let's say pink or something yellow or red, maybe around the white candle or the white flowers, then that would change the whole entire energy of it. Because then it's not entirely white.
Mm, yes. Okay. I must go and do that. After our session. So fascinating. And Terry, you know, crystals are a big thing, right, nowadays. And I know that, you know, some of my friends have crystals like in their bedroom and, you know, what is, you know, sort of feng shui say about crystals?
I love crystals. In the feng shui philosophy, crystals actually belong in the earth category. So it's something that's actually very generally very grounding. Obviously, the depending on the colors and the texture, or let's say if it's see-through or not, then that also gives a different meaning in our practice. But it's definitely something that we recommend people having in their space, especially areas that needs the earth element. Then we would say, oh, put, you know, like a yellow crystal here. But it's definitely, we do believe in, it's powerful natural element.
Okay, that's good to know. And I think we talked a little bit about colors, right, and what colors work for you. So without seeing you, like, how would I know what color works for me and my energy?
Right. So we can, first of all, based on your birthday first, because the birthday that we get from you can tell us what elements you are. So let's say I am a wood element and you could be fire element. And the combination of your elements can tell me, oh, you lack water, metal. So generally, you would need to wear more certain colors, which means you need to, it's kind of like, you know, very similar to Chinese medicine, I would say. Because, you know, they always say, like, if you are a certain type of body, then you should take more certain medicines in. So,
yeah,
we would say, oh, if you lack water, wear more blue and black. And then if you lack fire, you wear more pink, red, purple. And if you lack metal, then you can wear more silver and bronze accessories. That's how it works.
And does that change every sort of year?
Yes, because we look at the calendar. So in the Chinese calendar, every year is different. Like this year is the wood snake year. So in the wood snake year, we have a lot of fire element and wood element in there. So with the combination of the year and your birthday, then we look at that and say, okay, well, you need fire and this year has a lot of fire. So what we need to do is, let's say like maybe certain areas you need more metal. Then we say, okay, maybe this year you need certain colors. So it changes every year. Same with feng shui. Feng shui for space is different every year because the stars moving constantly.
Yeah, interesting. I will definitely have to have a separate consultation with you after this to figure out what are the right colors for me. And so I'm curious that you talked a bit about, you know, like the energy. And I think that especially like for those living in cities, right? Like you're always just like rushing and getting, you know, doing this and that. And then like, especially like, you know, you're a new mom and well, not new mom, but like you just had your second baby. There's so much going on, right? What are the things that we can do to sort of help us ground ourselves, right? When you come into a space that's your home, what are things that we can do to really just easily make us feel more grounded and more at ease?
That's a really, really good question because, like you said, Hong Kong is very, the energy is very busy here. And then if you're already a busy person, how do you ground yourself? So for me, I see your home as your charger. So let's say you're the phone, right? Then your home is the charger. So make sure your home can recharge your batteries and make sure that you can sleep well. So your bedroom need to be really curated in a way that you feel comfortable, that you can sleep well in there. And then also the colors that you'd use, make sure it's something that is more, it's less extreme. You know, I've had people who paint their whole room black and they've had nightmares every night since then. Or they paint the wall like all red, like bright red. So that's the, I've had clients say when they stare at this red wall, it made them so angry. So colors can give you a relaxing and resting energy as well. So I would recommend using beige, yellow, something more calm. Obviously, again, with the whole space, I would say if you go home and you just feel like you can't recharge yourself, then you have to relook at it. You got to relook at your space and say, okay, there's something I need to change here.
Like making sure you declutter as well as making sure that you have the right colors in your home. Okay.
Decluttering is actually one of the most important thing in feng shui because declutter or clutters in a space is actually not just physical obstruction. They are because a space represents a person's habits, experience, their energy. So if I come to your home and I see a lot of clutters, that tells me that mentally you also have a lot of clutters. So your energy cannot be cleared. So what you do is if you find yourself again, you're hoarding stuff and then your front entrance or your hallways are filled with clutters, declutter, right? And then make sure you do that every, I would say 3 months, especially in Hong Kong, because Hong Kong, you know, you have smaller spaces and you're busy and you might not look at your house that much or pay attention to your house that much. I've been to houses where, you know, you can't even walk around like without stepping on things, right? So I think that's very important.
Yeah. Okay. So we will need to Marie Kondo our house. Okay. That, and I think, you know, Thierry, for us moms, right? I try to declutter and I try to get my kids to declutter and like give away stuff and all that stuff. What do you say to a mom, like people with kids, like how do you declutter when it's just so hard?
Yeah. I feel you. Like definitely. It's hard, man.
Stuff like everywhere.
Yeah. And then especially, you know, having a child at home, every time you tidy up, next 5 minutes, you see them like throwing everything.
Yeah, like realistically, I mean, there's like conceptual decluttering, but then in reality, it's just like all comes back out again.
Yes. So I would say that it is actually something great that you can do with your child, if you can, obviously, to even just show them, you know, this is something that is good, a good habit to have. Even if they don't do it right the first time, it's okay. But I think it's just, you know, a habit that you could have for yourself that you can show your child.
Yeah.
And I think second is also finding a certain... So I think that's what's great about feng shui is we renew the feng shui every year. So every Chinese New Year, even with the Chinese New Year, every year people say, oh, you know, you got to clear out your house. Same with feng shui. We do the renewing every Chinese New Year. So it's just a great time to, let's say, like a habit to have and a belief to have that, you know, every year in the beginning of the year, I got to clear out my house. And obviously for the rest of the year, if you can, maybe when your child is, you know, off to school, you take that 1 hour just to clear, declutter the space for, you know, a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. I will try to do that. For somebody who is feeling stuck, sort of like just really, really feeling sad or just feeling, I think, just having that really like off balance energy, what are things you can do to help minimize that?
So I would say one of the biggest change that you could do is actually moving. That's actually one of the most powerful tool. Even though people are like, oh my God, I hate moving. Actually, if you can get yourself to do it, if you feel so stuck and you haven't felt great for years, moving is actually one of the best options. And then, obviously, if you can't move, then within the space that you have, I would say, you know, declutter. We look at all the things that you have, change the colors, let sunlight in, change your light bulbs. Your light bulbs, I would recommend a warm color instead of the white fluorescent color, because the yellow represents the sun and the white represents the moon. So you want to have the sunshine in your space. And I would recommend bring the life energy in, and also to bring in some items that means something sentimental to you. So recommend people, you know, something that your grandma gave you or your pet, right? Like your pet that passed away, like something that really means something to you. You have to put that in your space, because then that creates a unique energy only tailored to you. Yeah. And then pick a style that works for you as well. You know, some people are like, you know, I love the industrial style. Great. Like if that's what works for you. Or if you like the bohemian style, great. You know, pick something that is your style. What I usually often see in Hong Kong is actually a lot of space are not, there's no soul in it. It feels cold and it feels not, people haven't put their heart into it. So I think putting your heart into it can really change the energy.
Okay. Okay. That's really helpful. And what about your own space? What is your space like? And do you go every year and do you update it?
Yes, I update every year. I make sure my space is warm and the light bulb is warm. I love big windows. I love getting the sunshine in. And I usually pick a space that has a view that, even if you don't see the ocean and the mountains, I love an open view. Personally, I feel great when I see that. That's why I always say, like, whatever makes you feel great and you feel like, oh my God, I can sit here for a long time, that's your space. And then I also make sure that I put a lot of, you know, photos of my family, my pets. And then I also have my Buddha statues in there, my plants, my turtles, a lot of like.
Oh, wow. So you have a lot of life and energy.
Yes. So, I love flowers. So what I do is every month, maybe, I go to the flower market and I get my favorite flowers and I put that into my living room or even my bedroom. And that changes everything for me.
Yeah. Okay. That's really helpful. I love flowers. It's just sometimes you just don't have time, but yeah. But I do feel this sort of like sense of life. And I know my daughter loves it when I bring home like these like pink flowers and it's just like full of life. And
yeah.
For sure. I want to do that more. Yeah, this is amazing, Terry. Do you have any other things that I feel like I have a million questions about my home, but are there any like last tips that you think are super important that people can do without seeing you?
Yes. Well, I would say also trust your intuition. I've had a lot of people ask me, you know, how do you know, you know, if we don't hire somebody to come look at it, how do you know that's the right space for you? And I say, like, you know, look at the signs, right? I've had experience where I would go with an agent to the space, and for some reason, the agent would be like, oh, I got the key here, but for some reason, it doesn't work. Like, something just is not working. Like, the key is not broken, but I can't open the door. And those are signs where the universe is actually telling you, okay, this is not for you. Like, there are always signs. Or if you try to book to see the space, you love it, you saw the photos, you love it, but for some reason, you just can't get the alignment to get the landlord to go look at it. then just forget about it. If the landlord you met with, you're like, okay, I don't vibe with this landlord, trust yourself, right? Like, there's so many cases where, you know, you would move in and you and the landlord just like, just always fighting. Yeah. So these are the signs, right? And then also to really just, you know, if you look at the foundation of feng shui, it's all about the balance. So if you think a space is too dark and it has no windows, no view, it feels cold, then don't go for it. And if you think, oh, this is a good space and I can really work with it to bring in some sunlight, to rearrange the furniture, there's no like weird walls here, then yeah, that's a great space to work with.
Super useful. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And for our listeners today, how do they find you?
So you can find me on Instagram. My handle is THIERYCHOW. You can find me, message me anytime if you have any questions.
Amazing. Thank you so much. I will be definitely chatting with you offline, figuring out my colors for this year to maximize my chi.
Amazing.
Thank you so much for coming on today. Thanks for hanging out with us on the New Chi Podcast. If you enjoyed the episode, we'd love your support. Leave us a rating, drop us a review, or share it with someone who'd enjoy it too. And don't forget to hit the subscribe button so you never miss an episode.